neighbors together to weatherize homes and take the energy future into our own hands. And it's co-sponsored by Cambridge Energy Alliance. That is next Saturday, 12:30 to 5 p.m. in Cambridge. To sign up, call 617-491-6761 or visit heatma.com. That's heatma.com.
And if you'd like to support the Pastors for Peace Caravan to Cuba, there'll be a benefit concert Tuesday, July 6th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Spontaneous Celebrations, 45 Danforth Street in Jamaica Plain, with music, dancing, discussion, and food. Pastors for Peace Caravans travel to Cuba with humanitarian aid without a U.S. government license, challenging the economic blockade against Cuba, as well as the blockade on the minds of the Americans about the achievements of the Cuban people. For more information, call 617-916-2265 or visit www.july26.org.
And Bikes Not Bombs 23rd annual Bikeathon was postponed, and it's now being held this Sunday, Father's Day. You are invited to ride. I think actually it's too late to ride, but you're invited to donate. If you visit bikesnotbombs.org, you can sponsor a rider and donate to this wonderful 26-year-old grassroots organization that does unique bicycle-based social justice work through its youth programs in Boston and the donation of over 5,000 bicycles annually to Africa, Latin America, and the Caribbean. Also, after the rides, which range from 15 to 65 miles, you can join the riders and their friends at a Green Roots Rides Festival taking place near the Stony Brook T-Stop in the afternoon this Sunday. It will feature all kinds of things from mechanics checkups to food and music, and I don't have all the details, and we're all out of time. But it's this Sunday in the afternoon in Jamaica Plain. Visit bikesnotbombs.org. All out of time. Thank you for joining us. The views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Please stay tuned for Music for Human Beings coming up next. For the WMBR staff and management, did I already do the disclaimer? I must have. Yes, I did. See you next week.
Marhaban become Fee Music for Human. I am a Doctor Jalis Sakran, and I welcome you. So often our reasoning is based on assumptions of scarcity, but this evening we are blessed with abundance. The circle begins here with one other point. Aurora, welcome.
Thank you for having me on the show again, Dr. Jalis. And indeed, the circle begins with us 2 points, which perhaps makes it yet a line and not quite a circle.
Indeed, the circle itself, to the circular resident, appears to be a line.
Perhaps it is an incredibly flat ellipse.
But just as the earth appears flat to a member of the earth, so the circle would appear linear
to one who lies upon it.
But eventually, the traveler living on the circle would discover that they could return to their home in 2 ways, and would learn, if his mind were flexible enough to imagine more dimensions, he would see that his world was a circle. Aurora, of course, is a vocal specialist.
I am a vocal therapist, Dr. Jalis. And of course, our esteemed host here is a transdermal mediator.
Indeed. And many do ask me, Dr. Jalis, what is a transdermal mediator? And I say a transdermal mediator is a doctor for the spirit of the skin.
And how is your skin spirit these days?
Well, the spirit is healthy, but the skin itself is very, very old. So at this point, in spite of my extreme girth and skin health, very supple, moist skin, I remain quite wrinkled, like a dragon.
Or perhaps like a very wise man.
Or an unwise man who is elderly and very wrinkled.
Yes, but your skin in particular, your skin spirit, as you say, is very enriched. And what sort of things would cause your skin spirit to be diminished or unhappy?
Well, a number of things. Malnutrition, or indeed the accursed person who avoids or perhaps interacts with certain substances that damage the skin. There is a common ailment to those who work with solvents, that their skin can lose the fat. The fat cells will simply die in the skin. And I believe this is called delipoposition of the skin. And this is a serious, serious damage that is actually quite common. And it is difficult to restore spiritually skin that has undergone this level of damage.
But these seem like physical ailments. Is there any spiritual ailments that would... Or is it all connected? Perhaps it's a spiritual ailment that causes the physical manifestation.
Well, they certainly are connected, but in my view, people come to me and they say, cure this, and a man will show me that a very large portion of flesh has been removed from his arm, and he will say, cure this, Dr. Jalis, and I will say, unfortunately, the spirit here is sick, but the flesh is gone. There is no bringing back the flesh that is gone. And so we can hopefully recover the man to the point that he is living a normal life with a hole in his arm, and the tissue there will be supple and healthy, except that a portion of it is missing. Often it is, in my mind, more like it is a car and the spirit is the driver, but the car also needs to be healthy.
Mm.
So if the car's engine is removed, the car will not run.
But at the same time, the car may appear to be quite beautiful if it does not run.
A stationary car, indeed, but the car is merely an analogy. It is a metaphorical device.
And what sorts of practices do you suggest for someone who, for example, has difficulties with great amounts of acne?
Well, I hesitate to give mass prescriptions because it does vary so much from one person to another. But often it is important to focus on being clean. That would be a good start. I think a lot of the patients I see, that is a starting point.
And this cleanliness extends not only to soaping one's exterior, but also to ingesting, I assume.
Ingesting and also spiritual cleanliness. So there is a lot of stress in one's life, and this can have a damaging effect on the skin. You'll see some sorts of patches, or this acne will appear if a person is consistently under a great deal of stress. Stress is a very, very common source of skin issues here. And I think in order to relieve stress, there are two major methods. The first method, the primary way, is to change one's environment, which is not always possible. The second way is to change one's own method of dealing with the environment. So that is to say, to meditate and to change oneself, because it is important to, it is a healthy attitude that the work one does, one's success or failure in this life, must be seen that economic or financial success or failure, it is not, it has little implication beyond this life. So
see, and this is actually quite this answers a lot of my questions, because in my youth, I mentioned earlier, perhaps a year ago on the show, that I had quite a heavy stutter. And I had difficulties communicating with those around me and fitting in with my peers. And I also did have quite an extraordinary amount of acne. And when I began the self-vocal therapy, when I began understanding how to use my voice in order to soothe my soul, my acne began to disappear as well, and I always had wondered about that connection. If there was some vocal resonance that would cause the acne.
The mind is an incredible thing. The response that it has to being startled is to release certain chemicals which quicken the mind, quicken the body. Ultimately, these have a purpose in the moment, but in general, these are poisons. And if a person is exposed to a situation where they cannot rest, or they do not believe that they have control over their lives, it will manifest itself. It will. And one may bury these feelings, but these chemicals will do their damage and the effects will emerge.
And really, this is such a mind over matter sort of circumstance. Being able to calm yourself down in these situations which stress you out, being able to put yourself in that meditative state, in that place where you can feel happy. That is, I think, one of the most important skills that you can learn from, you know, from the New Age movement, is this meditation, this idea of taking everything that happens to you in the calmest manner possible.
Indeed, and really, you know, no one can tell you that you have to be under a nervous tension or under a great, you know, stress. This is your choice. This is your choice how to respond to the environment in which you are placed. If the entire life were a video game, there are those who would respond in the way that many of us do respond, even if it were simply a game. But many of us would be able to see a greater picture and realize that the consequences of the difficulties and the struggles that we are facing are finite. They do not extend infinitely.
And yet I find myself, when playing video games, to be even more stressed out than I am in real life. Perhaps because the visualizations are so creepy. I never find myself at gunpoint in real life.
I think actually that there are people who predicate their existence on they predicate their existence on certain truths that they have built about themselves, and these truths are based on their performance in these games. I'm not sure if that was clear. But in other words, I may define myself as the master of Galaga or something, and then if I find at some point that I fail, that I do not play well, then my existence is, my definition of myself is threatened, and so I am desperate and under stress. And so I am therefore wedded to the result of the game. Few of us will define ourselves in this way.
Well, but at the same time, all of us do in real life. I define myself as an expert in vocal therapy. You define yourself as an expert transdermal mediator.
But this is merely the label that I give to others so that they may place a context around me, but this is not me.
So if you were to suddenly lose your ability to soothe spiritually the pain of those with skin ailments, would you not feel yourself somewhat diminished?
Perhaps diminished, but it would not threaten my reality. my existence would not be threatened. The things that matter to me, the real consequences of existence, go beyond one's knowledge or abilities. They are about one's choices and how one chooses to respond to the situations that one is given.
That's quite beautiful, actually. A person definitely is defined by their choices. Usually the enemy defines you by the worst of your choices.
And these choices are given to us daily. It is not occasionally that one is given a moral choice. It is often, and the people that are around you challenge you to question the system that they have built, to choose for yourself. Those choices are always there.
So do you play within the system? Or do you allow yourself to break it if you wish?
To break the system, meaning to...
To act in a completely strange manner and one that is not expected.
Expectations are defined by others, and it is not my... The actions that I choose are not for the satisfaction of those around me. So if you'd like to call in and to act in a way that is not for the satisfaction of those around you, the number is 617-253-8810. Caller, marhaban. Caller? I think we may have just lost the caller.
I believe that caller's action was to hang up.
I think that sometimes these choices are based on fear and worry, but fortunately we work to cultivate a welcoming atmosphere. Caller, welcome. Welcome to you, caller.
I have been wondering for a long, long time. I've been losing some sleep. I wanted to know if Jalis Asakran, which is first name and what's the last name?
You have lost sleep over my name?
Yes.
Caller, I'm sorry to hear this. The first name, my given name is Jalis, and the last name is Asakran.
But why they call you Dr. Jalis, not Dr. Asakran?
It is out of familiarity with me, I think, caller. But since there is no intent to be disrespectful or to offend, and I am not offended, then I do not ask anyone to alter their convention.
And I might also add to that that as one who does not pronounce quite well the Arabic words, Jalis is a much easier word to say than his last name, As-Sakran, which is quite difficult, actually.
But Sakran is such a romantic name. Such a name that is so powerful.
Thank you so much, caller. It is my family's name for many, many generations.
So I bet your relatives are all called Sakrans?
Indeed... in my view, we are all related, both physically, biologically, we are all related, and spiritually. More importantly, we share our thoughts, and there is a closeness which is greater than a bond by blood. But indeed, it has been proven by scientifically that it is a very widespread theory that we are all descended from a single woman. And hence we are all one family, and naturally many of us are not called Asakran. Caller, what choices were you given today, if I may ask?
Of what?
What challenges were you given? What did life put you in a situation, even something so mild, where you were asked to make a choice about either to do something easy or to do something that you felt was right, something healthy for you spiritually?
Well, I'm really happy to call. I was really impacted by trying to figure out how to call you, Sakran or Jalis. And now, I'm challenged. I'm happy to hear that you should be called Dr. Sakran, which I think is a very strong and important name.
Well, indeed, thank you. Thank you so much, caller. And I'm glad that I was able to put this this doubt to rest.
It's amazing that so much power and feeling can be wrapped up in a name that is given at birth. One that is linked perhaps to physical blood, but not perhaps to spiritual connection.
You said that is an Arabic word? Arabic?
The name?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is Arabic.
That's from the ancient. Is that from the same land where Jesus was born and Abraham?
You know, caller, it is believed to be so. Many question it. It is unknown.
And I've personally not been able to reach that far back in my spirit paths, in my meditation. I believe the furthest back I have gone is 1842 AD.
But caller, I'm very curious, and I'd like to get a sort of connection with you. Do you feel in your life in general? I've started to feel in these moments that there is the start of an abundance, and I wonder if you have the same sensation, because there is a widespread view among the people that I meet about scarcity, that it is a time of almost famine, but I'm not seeing this, and to me especially I'm beginning to have visions of great wealth and great abundance reaching us.
Abundance in the soul, abundance in happiness, not abundance in food.
Well, in this time of year it is difficult to see all of the beautiful plants sprouting up and starting to bear fruit and think to myself or to yourself that things are not abundant. And perhaps it is not resources in which there is abundance. But I think that we lack something in our society, a sense of stability, a sense of growth, and perhaps that is where the fear of famine arises.
And I would like to, and my feeling is that that the spiritual abundance is more important. That is an important thing. And in fact, we are better off with spiritual abundance and a lack of food than to have a great amount of food and a spiritual dearth, a starvation spiritually.
Oh, agreed completely. And caller, so you believe that there is great spiritual abundance around you?
I see it everywhere. The more famine in material world, the more abundant there is in the spiritual world.
Because perhaps people must turn to spiritual things, they must look inwards when they cannot quench that hunger, perhaps.
Yeah, there was this discussion we had on the spirit cookie, and sometimes one must reach inside oneself and consume that spirit cookie. And in fact, in a few short months, we are reaching again the Islamic month of Ramadan, where we will be fasting, and the days are long, and I'm sure that I will be personally consuming my own spirit cookie.
And do you think that in the spirit of fasting, it is acceptable to consume or to nibble upon one spirit cookie?
I think that it is essential. It is an essential quality of the faster that he or she indeed, because it is obligatory, that he be able to consume something spiritual. It is not only acceptable, it is expectable, I believe.
But in the land of plenty, it's only the spiritual. It's a spiritual cookie. It has not reached the pie level.
No, indeed. I have not, since my youth, met someone who had a spirit pie. No. It takes a great deal of effort to cultivate that cookie. I meet a lot of people who abandon their worldly endeavors in order to cultivate the cookie and find that it does not grow. And I believe, again, just like the skin, that there is a mutual effort, that it, one must neither ignore the spiritual, their spiritual growth. Likewise, one must not ignore their worldly growth. The world is here around us. It is important to give it the proper amount of attention, but no more.
Does it grow like a tree? Any tree, you have to give it water, give it manure, dirt, but for it to grow.
Indeed, you do not cover the seed with dirt and starve it of water. It will not grow. Likewise, in a cup of water, if you throw a seed into a lake, the seed will die.
But where you get the dirt, that kind of water that feeds the soul, make that cookie grow.
It is indeed my hope that all our cookies will grow.
It needs spiritual essence, spiritual happiness, and perhaps giving to one another the realization that we are just one, that we are all together, one beautiful spiritual cookie pile, perhaps, and treating those around you as your brothers and sisters. Seeing that homeless man and offering him a home-cooked piece of chicken, perhaps.
Or indeed just being kind in word and giving him a taste of your spirit cookie is also perfectly charitable also.
Not screaming at those around you who are stuck in traffic, but acknowledging that they are, like you, suffering.
Caller, may I ask, are you at the moment in traffic?
No, I am a lucky, one of the lucky cookie holders that hoping it grows to a pie, that I am not in traffic.
So you have chosen to withdraw yourself from the traffic and hope to cultivate that spirit cookie.
I try hard to keep my cookie pure. I don't want anything to muddy my cookie.
And this is also a subject that we discussed a few weeks ago, whether or not to keep the cookie packaged spiritually, or to allow your spirit cookie to come in contact with the world, whether that would actually spiritually sully the cookie or enhance it with more flavor.
But more flavor makes it more less less pure. You know, you look, take a look at a cookie that's plain and a cookie with chocolate chip or raisin. You know, which is more pure?
Indeed, caller, but there is a balance between purity and complexity. The singer who can precisely hit a single note may be able to beautifully and with great skill express pure tones, but the tone by itself is not an opera.
Indeed, it is the beautiful overtones, the trills, the anguish, the feeling in the voice, so many factors, the pausing, the timing, the timbre that creates a gorgeous, beautiful voice, or what is commonly known as a beautiful voice.
Well, if you'd like to make our discourse more complex, the number is 617-253-8810. Let's bring another voice into the circle. Caller, marhaba.
Yeah, hi.
Welcome, caller.
Hello, this is Scott from Cambridge.
Welcome, Scott.
How are you? No, my mom was Swedish.
I'm sorry, you are Swedish?
My mother was Swedish.
I'm sorry, your mother was Swedish.
Yes, no, don't be sorry. So I was wondering if you're thinking of a cookie, if you immerse the cookie in some type of beverage, like a coffee or something, I was wondering if you had an analogy ready at hand.
For the dunking of the cookie.
Well, actually, cosmically, yeah.
Well, I think in my mind that the dunking.
How are you, by the way?
Well, I'm well. Thank you.
Nice to talk to you again.
So, Scott, I think that the dunking of the cookie is a sort of. Well, I would have to say it must be meditation, if there were any dunking.
It's an act, now that you mention it. It's actually using the spiritual to connect with the body and actually, sure, like the lady in the lake.
Yeah, I can see.
Mythically rising from the lady, mythically rising from the lake in Tennyson. The cookie goes down into the water or something. Yeah.
Well, we must consider this in multiple facets. Dunking one's cookie, one's spiritual cookie, allows that spiritual cookie to be immersed in a new atmosphere, which obviously allows it to see from different angles using the laws of refraction, allows it to taste a different atmosphere, to breathe a different spiritual air. And at the same time, it does cause harm, potentially, to the spirit cookie, which can then become very moist and crumble.
It is.
Well,
it is.
Narcissus and Goldman. I'm sorry, was this Aurora?
Yes, it's nice to meet you.
How are you this week?
I'm doing pleasantly, thank you.
Thank you for letting me ask.
And how are you?
Good, thanks.
I think it's a great analogy, actually, because and I would like to have all of us share a meditative experience and dunk our cookies in the same bowl.
And see, this is wonderful, because the different tastes from our different spiritual cookies, the different essences and mixtures, can come together and influence one another. And perhaps in the end, with enough dunking into the same spiritual bowl, before we turn into a spiritual mush, we may, in fact, all become beautifully complex, identical spirit cookies.
Or indeed, is Caller One still with us?
I'm still with you.
Caller One, I think this may be also the avenue to the spirit pie. The spirit pie that you were seeking is that a large number of spirit cookies maybe
I think everyone has tried to do the pie.
Indeed.
The pie has to be pure, the soul has to be pure. It's so a complex soul. is not a positive thing. It's the simplicity of a soul. It's what is pure.
I see, and I agree with that, because I think that also may explain the scarcity of the spirit's pie, because so many pure and complementary souls must dunk in the same shallow meditative experience to soak it up completely and form the well-sought-after pie.
And now to diverge from the analogy and discuss the actual meaning of a pure versus a complex spirit cookie. I believe we are all born with an incredibly pure spirit cookie. As children, as babies, we seem to have a better perception, a better innate perception of those around us. And perhaps we are able to see the auras of those around us and see on a different spiritual plane. But at the same time, we are incapable of bringing ourselves out of our own bodies and to understand those around us inherently as if we were them. And as we age and as we become more complex by mixing our spirit cookies with others, we develop this sort of spiritual empathy, this ability to transcend and transform into another spirit cookie, which allows us to interact with other human beings in such an intimate way.
I think that there must be some shared flavor also. Before we can commune, before one spirit cookie can come together and take a shade of complexity from its neighbor, it is a challenge.
What's the path to the greater pie? I've been looking for that. I wanted to get there. I want to get to the pie plateau.
Color, there is no path. There is no simple answer, no simple instruction that can get you there. If you try too hard, it will not happen. You must only reach into yourself and try to attain this beautiful spirit of yours, to try to remain happy with yourself and to reach out to those around you in order to enhance your spirit cookie. But you cannot do so with the intention of developing a spirit pie. You can only do so with the intention of creating a better world around you.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, the path to a pie, to a spirit pie, would be the goal of communicating and being able to understand and fully empathize with each person that one meets. And so the goal of I'm not sure if that would be achieved through the purity of one's own cookie. It may be because every cookie has the same elements in varying proportions, or it may be by developing a great complexity and then yielding a homogeneous flavor of cookie. Either path, I think, will lead one there. It is not a matter of extremes, simply a matter of sincerity.
No amount of reading, no amount of search, not amount of running after the truth will get you to the pie plateau.
I think it will get you there. It is a matter of simply continuing to search for it, and I think the universe will respond kindly.
That cracks my cookie.
And perhaps that is the first step upon the path of the spirit pie, is to have a cracked cookie.
Is that the first step?
Perhaps. We must realize that spirit pie is essentially a spirit cookie with a fruit filling, and that continuing upon the constant path that we have been in, we who are spirit cookies, will only achieve spirit cookiness.
Well, if anyone would like to call in and dip your cookie in our meditative experience, the number is 617-253-8810.
How do you know you're in the Pi plateau, but the Pi spirit? Do you know anyone who reached that level?
It has only been a theoretical construct in my mind. The idea of merging spiritually and finding some sort of unity in the extreme. Let's bring a voice in and see if we can approach some unity
looking
now.
Looking for the truth. It's hard.
Marhaban caller, please step away from the radio.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine, caller. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Caller, how is your spirit cooking this evening?
I'm not sure, actually. Let me see if I can turn up the volume so I can hear you. Oh, okay, that's better. I'm not sure.
Caller, how do you feel spiritually? I mean, the cookie is simply meant as an analogy. If you were deprived of food and had to look within yourself for a spiritual experience to content your stomach, to content your worldly body, would you be able to do so?
Well, I've definitely tried somewhat. My husband does a lot of meditation. And sometimes when I meditate or when I'm just sitting and looking out at the sky, I get this sense of real contentment. Mm.
There have been those moments when contentment has come to you, but it sounds like it requires a lot of external preparation that the world has to cooperate.
I think so. Sometimes it's hard to find it in the general day-to-day stressful environment.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because I have similarly been frustrated in line at the RMV, and trying to meditate there is very challenging, but it is possible, even there.
Right, right.
I think part of it is taking a moment and willingly becoming an external observer. I'm not sure. I think it takes a lot of practice.
There are also some vocal tricks to ease one into a better mood, into a soother, happier mood. And in the DMV, I am known to begin to sing usually very happy, upbeat songs. Although those around me are usually not always appreciative of that.
So you actually sometimes sing?
Yes, exactly.
And actually, now that I think of it, I have a set of sort of spiritual exercises, almost mental exercises, that I will perform. And at this point, it has become reflexive. I will walk through a memory palace that I have constructed for myself. So it is an imaginary place that where I collect my thoughts and sort through any difficulties I may have. I, in moments of great heat, will retreat there to rest myself on the cool waters.
And caller, do you have any visualizations that help you deal with stressful situations, for example?
Yeah, sometimes for a little while I used to go to a meditation center, and sometimes what would happen when I was just sitting there in quiet was I could almost feel this sense that there were like roots coming out of my fingers and my feet, and it was almost like sort of being infinitely connected to a lot of things.
So this feeling of growth, of regression may be the right term, but connection at a very core level of your being. I appreciate that that visualization very much. Have you ever actually buried like a limb, perhaps, and really, it is incredible to do so because one feels that one no longer has to support the limb. So if one buries oneself to the waist,
wow,
then there is a sensation of suspension there. And I would be interested in the results of that visualization after that point.
Wow.
Particularly.
That's interesting.
Yes, as you may be feeling also so many different sensations upon your toes and your knees.
Right. It's interesting because when you say that, it reminds me that sometimes, like a couple of years ago, I learned to float on the water. Mm. And when I float, I can sometimes float for like half an hour until I get distracted. But when I do that, it really gets me into a totally different space because I'm not supporting my body in the same way.
Mm.
And that is bringing your mind back to when we were just simply wonderful little creatures floating in the waters before we moved onto the lands.
Or indeed,
wow,
in the wombs of our mothers, where,
yes,
supporting our own weight was unnecessary. Can one imagine even not having to exert the effort to keep one's head upright?
Right, exactly. There is something very, very... it just alleviates everything when you can just float there.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And alas, I cannot float. I sink immediately when I enter the water.
Mm-hmm.
And from the cries of Dr. Jalas, it is probably evident that he is somewhat terrified of the water, and he cannot relax enough in order to float.
Yes. That's what I've noticed with floating the last couple of years. I've had to really let go,
mm-hmm,
in the water.
That may be. I had a very intense series of visions in middle age about my death. I realized that death was an experience I would have to go through alone.
Wow.
And that it created for me a sensation of extreme panic. I had and the visions always involved death coming to me in the water. It's only recently that I'm able even to enter the water at all.
Wow.
So, caller, have you had to make any decisions today?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm a teacher, and I had this digital camera, and it accidentally, I was distracted, and it fell off of my car, and I was supposed to go to a workshop tonight,
mm-hmm,
but I had to decide to go back to look for my camera, because I just really, really wanted to see, to know what happened to it, and unfortunately, it got run over by a car. But I sort of had to decide in the split second, do I go to this workshop or do I go back and try to see if I can salvage my camera? So it was kind of a split second where you had to really decide something there.
And was the worry about the camera because it is valuable, or is it a sentimental, is it an attachment to the... The camera is not an heirloom, but does it have pictures on it? Is it unreplaceable?
Yeah. Well, yeah, what I realized is that it's sort of like there were pictures on it, a lot of the artwork of the children that I teach,
mm-hmm,
which I really loved. But I think somehow the camera represented something to me emotionally about who I am or me becoming a better person. Like it had some emotional value that I couldn't really attribute to the pictures.
About self-improvement through the camera.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And why is that? That It seems very unusual to me. I'm sorry, but
oh, that's okay.
Why is that? What? If you don't mind sharing?
Oh no, I don't mind at all. I think what it was that I'm not a very technically savvy person.
Mm-hmm.
So for the longest time, I used to use like one of those like disposable cameras and then just wait a long time and get it developed and everything. So buying the digital camera was this big step for me into having more access to technology. And I think that also because I'm a teacher, it was this way that I could save and preserve this record of what I was doing. And it's teaching is a new profession for me, so I had to really step out of a lot of my insecurities to become a teacher.
I see. Yeah, for a moment I was very confused because I also am not technological, but I do not regard the use of the tools as either good or bad or the practitioner,
right.
But I see it as a matter of facing some fear.
Yes.
And Caller, as your new profession as a teacher, how do you find yourself changing from your previous self?
Well, it's interesting because my previous self, I worked part-time, and I thought it allowed me more freedom, but I think it was allowing me to kind of hide inside myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm a teacher, when I'm teaching in front of the class, I have to project a very confident presence,
mm-hmm.
even when I don't feel like it. And I think it's strengthened an awareness in me that I can be a bigger part of people's lives and society and take up a bigger role in a certain way.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. That's
Thank
actually
you.
One of the most essential, most difficult steps towards achieving a calm and happy unity with the universe is in those two steps that you've taken, which are first being able to put yourself in a confident mindset at will, and the second is feeling as though the actions that you are taking are bettering society.
Right.
Those two things will definitely help you achieve this question that you posed, which is how to be able to look into the sky at any time and feel a great contentment with the world.
Wow.
So this is a spiritual view on one's improvement and place within on the planet. And I appreciate also that in the list, Aurora, you do not mention material success, because I also feel that after some point, this is irrelevant. That if one is content physically, that a mass of wealth will only be distracting spiritually.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, caller.
Thank you. Are you often on the radio? Because I've never heard this show before.
We are on every Friday at 7 p.m. On WMBR.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Namaste.
Bye.
And is caller one still with us?
Caller one is still with you.
Caller one, thank you so much for being with us for so long and for your spectacular patience. I do hope the best for your spirit cookie and the spirit pie.
Wait, is that where the pie in the sky came from? Is that where it's in the sky and you grow and leap far up high? That's why you climb the mountain to get to that pie. Is that where it comes, Dr. Sakharov?
I'm not sure, Connor, but it is a comforting belief that all these things are connected.
Thank you so much for calling, caller. Namaste.
Thank you.
Aurora, thank you so much for joining me also this evening.
Thank you for having me.
I am Dr. Jalis Sakran here on Music for Human. Music for Human is on every Friday at 7 p.m. We are New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. Stay tuned now for Larry, who is taking over for Jeremy this evening, who will be serenading us with beautiful summer tunes to the beginning of summer this Monday. Ma'asalama.
Well, thank you very much, Ali. You are listening to WMBR. As the man said, I'm filling in for Jeremy. Sorry to disappoint you, but not the usual mix of indie rock, techno stuff, etc. Gonna be doing something a little bit different coming up this Monday at 7:23 a.m. June 21st marks the official beginning of the vernal equinox, which means the official start of summer. Looking for songs about summer and sunshine and hot and stuff like that to get technical. Like this one, one of many fine versions of the George Gershwin 1935 classic from the operetta Porgy and Bess. This is Booker T and the MGs and Summertime. Requests 617-253-8810. My name's Lawrence Azrin. And a bit of relentless self-promotion. I will indeed be on Monday, June 21st, doing the Monday Lost and Found and more of this sort of stuff, but we'll mix it up. Some more current stuff, some older 60s stuff, whatever you want to hear. 617-253-8810.